One of the best-known young adult writers in the country has made a name for himself writing post-apocalyptic and dystopian science fiction for teenagers. His name is Scott Westerfeld. Teens know him as the author of the Peeps series, about a bunch of parasite-positive vampires, and of the best-selling novels Uglies and Pretties, about a future world in which cosmetic surgery is compulsory. And Strange Champs asked Westerfeld where that gruesome idea came from.
A friend of mine moved to Los Angeles about 6 years ago, and he went to the dentist and had what he thought was a fairly normal appointment. But then afterwards, she asked him to come back to her office and put these questions to him that were very strange. One of them was, you know, where do you want your teeth to be in 5 years? And he was sort of nonplussed by this. And what he finally realized is that she was saying, look, you know, here's your regular New Yorker teeth, and over here is Tom Cruise. How far do you want to go over the next 5 years? How much money do you want to spend? How much time do you want to spend in my chair? How much pain do you want to endure to have a 5-year plan for your teeth?
And I suppose the frightening thing was that to her, these seemed like normal questions.
Yeah, this was what you do at the dentist in Los Angeles, or at least at that dentist in Los Angeles. And, you know, he started walking around L.A. trying to figure out who had the 5-year plan and seeing these seeing these teeth and realizing that some of these people were, in fact, you know, on their way to Tom Cruise mouthdom. And I started thinking, wow, what would it be like if when you went to the doctor, it wasn't about health or exercise or diet, but it was about the way you look, like when you go to the hairdresser. And I started to just get the idea of projecting this trend 300 years into the future and having a society where plastic surgery was not only, you know, ubiquitous and cheap, but also mandatory.
Well, describe a bit of that, because in your first two books in this series, Uglies and Pretties, cosmetic surgery has become, well, this bizarre coming-of-age, right? A mandatory coming-of-age, right? Will you describe this world some?
Sure. Basically, in the Uglies world, the way you look is written into the language itself. And once you turn 16, you get this plastic surgery that completely changes your facial structure and even your height. Gives you a new layer of skin, makes you look sort of racially average, so you look a little bit Asian, a little bit African, a little bit European. So it turns you into this, what they call a pretty. So everyone who's over 16 is called a pretty. And in that uncomfortable age, between sort of 10 or 11 and 16, when you get the operation, you are called an ugly. So the you know, the uglies are basically told that they're ugly. They make fun of each other for the way they look. You're just you're brainwashed into thinking that you're ugly, and you need this operation to become a real person or a pretty.
That's actually sort of not a bad critique of our current world, in which, you know, attractiveness does get privileged.
Yeah, I was reading a lot of research as I was beginning to write this about how kids who are deemed more attractive tend to get better grades, and they're treated better by their peers. Adults who are more attractive tend to make more money. That people actually treat you better if you're more attractive. So this society's idea is that if everyone's attractive, this will be a more well-balanced, more just society where everyone treats each other fairly.
When the first of these books, Uglies, came out, it became an instant hot read among teenagers. I mean, the book spread by word of mouth, and by the time your latest in this series, Extras, came out, you know, it debuted at number 2 on the bestseller list. Why do you think these books have spoken so powerfully to teenagers? What do they tell you about them?
Well, I'm surprised at how many, particularly girls, have written me and said, you know, I was going to get plastic surgery. I was going to get a nose job when I turned 17 or 18. And after reading Uglies, I decided not to. You know, and that's actually, it's a pretty intense kind of email to get. I always joke, if I can save just one nose, it's all been worth it. But I think, you know, there are these incredible pressures on teenagers, particularly girls, but more and more so on boys as well, to feel like they have to reach these perfect physical archetypes.
Are boys starting to get cosmetic surgery?
What boys do instead of plastic surgery is they take steroids. Mm. You know, it's the same kind of self-mutilation for cosmetic purposes, but it's a different kind of thing. It's not so much surgery as drugging yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I was thinking that this kind of issue that you're dealing with, physical attractiveness, certainly speaks really powerfully to adults. So you could easily have chosen to write a novel for adults about these issues. You chose to write the novels for a young adult audience. I was wondering why, but it sounds like from what you say, maybe these issues hit teenagers even more powerfully than they do adults.
Well, adults kid themselves that attractiveness is not an important part of their life. But when you're a teenager, there's a joke in science fiction that the golden age of science fiction is 14. And the reason why is because when you're 14 years old, you're still willing to question the rules of the world. And the rule of the pretties, you know, the rule that beautiful people are listened to more and that we buy into all this stuff, those rules seem more random and more ridiculous to you when you're 13 than they do when you're an adult and you've sort of bought into everything.
And I suppose when you go to junior high and high school also, you're living in a world in which there's a great deal more social control than there is for adults. And so in some ways I can see why reading dystopian novels would fit for teenagers. You know, it's not that far off from the world they already live in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a bell rings and you are told where to go. Your haircut is monitored. The clothes you wear are monitored. You know, you have to select the schedule of your day from a sort of menu or have someone else select it for you and then get it approved by your parents. I mean, it is a dystopian novel, basically.
Do teenagers say that to you?
Well, they don't use the word dystopia often, but they do sort of inherently understand the need to be free as a sort of constant battle. Like, you don't get freedom when you're a teenager. It's not handed to you. It's something you sort of gouge out and invent, and you find the spaces where you can go, where you can be free. One of the reasons why I referred to that age group as uglies, you know, sort of 11 to 15, mm-hmm. is because whatever people that age do tends to be criminalized. Like, in my day, it was skateboards. We all got skateboards when I was about 12, and a month later, the no skateboarding signs were everywhere. And my wife and I were in Britain in October, and there were all these signs in restaurants saying, you know, we do not serve customers with black hoodies. And obviously, you know, file sharing, MySpace, anything that teenagers do en masse has to be the subject of a Senate inquiry.
Well, tell me about your newest book in this series, Extras. You've introduced a slightly different world. In this one, people are obsessed less with physical attractiveness and now with fame and popularity. Where did your ideas for this world come from?
There was a one book, one school project that was done in Indiana, a small rural town in Indiana, and they basically bought 600 copies of Uglies and gave them to every kid, every teacher, every, you know, PTA volunteer, administrator, janitor. Everyone in school got them, and they all read it. And I went down, and I was really amazed at how, you know, how intense it was to be in a place where everybody had read my book. And this one kid raised his hand during a question and answer session and absolutely seriously said, you know, Mr. Westerfeld, do you know Paris Hilton? And I was really, you know, it was one of those very strange, where do you want your mouth to be in 5 years kind of questions. And later I was talking to the teachers and asking what it was he was asking me. And I realized that he had maybe in this, you know, small town in rural Indiana, he had never seen, you know, anybody treated like a rock star who'd just written a book. And he was trying to figure out, do you hang out with Paris Hilton? Do you hang out with Kobe Bryant or the president? Like, how famous are you? And the other aspect of this was, the other inspiration was, I write with a number of authors, and invariably somebody mentions their Amazon ranking and, you know, realizes, oh, my book just went up 6,000 on Amazon. So we're getting all this information back about how famous we are, like, how many MySpace friends do I have? How many people have watched the YouTube video I uploaded yesterday? The weird place that I create in Extras is a city in which everyone's constantly monitored. And every time you talk about someone or hum a tune that they wrote or dress like them, you know, you increase their face rank. You make them a little bit more famous. And if you go hide in your apartment for a couple months and no one talks about you, then you get less famous.
And so everybody's trying to become more famous?
Well, what happens is there's a character whose name is Aya, and her older brother has just hit the top 1,000. So he's really famous. He's sort of he's what they call a kicker, which is sort of a blogger who makes other people famous, and that's how he's become famous. And she is way off into extra land. She's like 400,000th most famous person in this city of a million. And she's trying to become famous, and what she discovers is that there's this group called the Sly Girls who are doing these incredibly cool tricks that would make them famous, that would make them terrifically popular, except they're not taking advantage of it. They're doing them anonymously, and they're hiding, and they're trying to keep—in fact, their face ranks are at the very bottom of the millionth, That's how they determine status in their little micro community, is who has the lowest face rank is the leader.
You know, the scary thing about reading your novels is that you can so easily see all this happening. I mean, even the futuristic technology you've created, you know, doesn't actually seem that far-fetched. Do you think we're actually going to go more and more in that direction?
Yeah, I don't think we have a choice. I mean, a certain kind of privacy is dying, and there's no way to get it back. But, you know, certain kinds of privacy have always disappeared. It used to be able to go off and live in the woods, and nobody would even know where you were, ever. That kind of thing is impossible now, or well-nigh impossible for most people.
You know, it seems to me that there are even deeper issues here than fame or physical attractiveness. It seems to me that what's at the heart of all of the books that you write is you're wrestling with the questions about how much we can control and this human desire we have to choose our lives, to choose to be whatever we can be.
Well, I mean, what it is to be human has changed so rapidly over the last, you know, 100 years. Once you invent the telephone, it becomes radically different just to be a human being, because you go from somebody who can talk only to people in the room you're in to people who can talk to someone all over the world. You think of that as just a technology or a trick, but it really makes you magic compared to previous generations. And the fact that we're all living in what are basically magical times doesn't always sink in, and we don't always realize it. So that's why I think science fiction, I mean, a lot of the kids who write me, a lot of the girls who write me in particular say, you know, I never read science fiction, but I loved Uglies. I loved these books. And it's because the science fiction I'm writing is about their lives. It's not about rocket ships or, you know, the sort of space age technologies. It's about, in effect, cell phones and the small technologies that you hold in your hand, keep in your purse, put in your pocket, that have really changed the way we live in a way that rocket ships never did.
Scott Westerfeld has written a dozen or so young adult novels. He talked with Ann Strainchamps about the series that includes Uglies, Pretties, and most recently, Extras.